The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
I think that inequalities may be entrenched, and we need to make sure that as we recover, we level up across our societies and we build back better. And I actually think that we have a huge opportunity to do that, because as G7, we are united in our vision for a cleaner, greener world, a solution to the problems of climate change, that we're building back better together, and building back greener, and building back fairer, and building back more equal, and in a more gender neutral and perhaps like a more feminine way. How about that, apart from anything else?
What happened to him? It's painful to watch sometimes. It's easy, by the way, to, as many have done, to focus in on the cognitive decline of the fake president, Joe Biden. But something has happened to Boris Johnson as well. He's not that far removed from the statements you'd hear coming from the radical left, from the American or British communists. There he is talking about the G7, these Western nations, Israelite nations, taking on a more gender-neutral or feminine, I guess, in some ways you don't even quite understand what he's getting at there, but when you understand Isaiah 3, you know where they're going with this, and they haven't gone far enough. They have not gone far enough. We'll come to some of that here in just a moment. First, I want to thank you for joining us on The Trumpet Daily. We really appreciate you supporting this program. As you know, many of you, we give you an hour-long show every weekday, and now on Sundays, too. We had a little trouble posting the Sunday edition yesterday, by the way. That may be fixed by now, but if you were looking for that yesterday and you didn't get to it, you might check back at thetrumpet.com/live to get to all of those podcasts. But as you also know, there's a lot more on that website, thetrumpet.com, than just this television program, this radio program. It's both. We have all those podcasts, of course. But in addition to that, we have a team of writers posting new updates every day. There's one just coming up today about that fracturing alliance between the United States and Britain. Look at how quickly it unravels, that special relationship. Mr. Johnson doesn't even like to use that term, special relationship, because he feels like it implies that the nation of Britain is somehow needy, like it needs the United States. Instead of promoting it, instead of talking about this long history, fighting together. Well, he wants us to still fight together, I guess. But for what? A more gender-neutral and feminine society. There's articles on that. There's certainly other things on our website as well. You can get to this podcast. You can get to my father's TV program. There's newsletters that we email out, trumpet briefs that go out now multiple times a day. It's a very full website. And of course, as you know, if you've visited The Trumpet or if you've requested our literature before, and we offer a lot, hundreds, thousands of articles, booklets, books, and the best part of it is everything that we offer is completely free. It always has been. So make thetrumpet.com your homepage and visit it frequently. And if you'd like to go beyond studying or viewing things online, you can always request free hard copies of The Trumpet magazine. Here's the latest one, Jab or Else, Tomorrow's News Today, as you well know. You can get to the Trumpet magazine or have it sent to you by calling our operators today. That's 1-866-930-3776. 3024. That's a toll-free call in the United States, Canada, and the Caribbean. Just call our operators today and request or subscribe to the Trumpet magazine. Now, we can also get this this message out through other platforms. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that network, sends the audio of this program out every single day, and it does so live. You can get to that live, and they also have a replay late at night. I forget the time for that. One other programming note. Actually, it's not a note for this program. It's a note for the Celtic Throne performance. We have a performance coming up tonight in Amarillo, Texas. I think there's about 600 tickets so far that have been sold. So it's going to be loud tonight in the, I believe it's the Convention Center. I forget the exact name of the facility there. But if you're anywhere near Amarillo, if you're in the panhandle of Texas, make sure that you visit our website, CelticThrone.com. And there's a very easy way that you can get to the venue and see exactly what seats are still available and prices for this particular concert. They're very reasonable. I think you can get them from anywhere between $25 and $40. So if you want to attend a performance, an incredible performance, I mean everyone, we've had a montage on the docket for quite some time now. We haven't had time to play it, but everyone that sees this, they're just overwhelmed almost. And you can see it in the reaction when the performance is going on, and you can see it or hear it in the comments that they give after the fact. So if you'd like to see that show and you're anywhere near Amarillo, Texas, go to CelticThrone.com and order your tickets today. There's several other cities that you can get to as well here in the next couple of weeks. Well, today, by the way, is Flag Day, which means that Sonny Hostin and I think her name is Mara Gay, both of them are in hiding. Very, very dangerous day, a disturbing day. All of the, imagine the American flag flying high across America of all things. This really bothers communists. This really bothers people, some people, not a majority of Americans, but you heard about that last week if you were watching this program, and the fact that it's Flag Day again, it just makes me think of that wonderful, that beautiful medley, the American medley section of Celtic Throne, and even the song sung during that concert, Old Glory, the grand old flag. Think about what that symbol represents, one of the great symbols of the United States, a symbol of freedom for sure. And of course, it's coming under attack, isn't it? Flag Day, June 14, 2021. June 14, by the way, this is also Donald Trump's birthday. So nothing really to comment on with respect to that, except that it's the birthday of our real president, the real one. He's, I believe, 75 years old today. So the Prime Minister of Britain speaking to the G7 leaders and calling for a more gender-neutral and even feminine society. And think about what it says in Isaiah 3. It says that the Eternal of Hosts takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff and the whole stay of bread, the whole stay of water. So this is a time of trouble that's coming. And notice what else it says he takes away. The mighty man. The mighty man. It's the first thing he says there after the, you know, the bread and the water and so on. There's about to be shortages of everything, including leadership, male leadership, mighty male leadership. Can't talk about that, but we can certainly promote a more gender-neutral society. A more gender-neutral G7. Can you imagine Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson standing up or sitting down before the leaders of the United States and Britain and others and saying what we need is gender neutrality. What we need is a more feminine society. We want to get rid of masculinity and male leadership. Well, they're getting what they want. And like I said, it's never, ever enough. I mean, Isaiah 3 in so many ways has already been fulfilled. It's describing an upside down world in Israel specifically. And if you don't know who Israel is today, make sure that you request the United States and Britain in prophecy. You've got to call our operators for this book. It's gone out to 6 million plus households. And this will tell you a little bit about why our nations are the way they are today. A more gender-neutral and feminine society. That's what we're aiming for here. God says he'll take away the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the captain of 50, the honorable man, the counselor, the cunning artificer, the eloquent orator. What has happened to Boris Johnson? It's just a little snapshot, isn't it, of what has happened to our nations? This is what passes for leadership? And then, of course, you consider all the prophetic implications. Well, I'll leave it to you to keep studying through Isaiah 3. Talks about the upside-down society, women ruling over them, children oppressing, and it doesn't mention the men in verse 12. Surprise, surprise. It aligns perfectly, doesn't it, with what you heard over the weekend, or maybe that was Friday, what Prime Minister Johnson had to say. What has happened to him? He's supposed to be a conservative. Well, look at our nations at large. And as I say, go to thetrumpet.com later today and look at that article. You had the statement, I forget, I think it came out of the American Embassy in Britain. Right before the G7 meeting, the United States basically saying that Britain is not fulfilling its part of the Good Friday Agreement from 1998. A slap at Britain and timed to be just before the G7 meeting. And then in stumbles Joe Biden with all of the gaffes and so on. Listen to what he said about, again, getting in trouble with his staff if he doesn't stick to the script. This is clip 8.
I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble with staff if I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacob Bloomberg.
Thank you, sir. All right, he's got to pick out the journalists that have been pre-approved. If he doesn't, he gets in trouble. His staff corrects him. That's the president of the United States. And then when he does get a decent question from someone, he does things like this. He slips into this whisper mode. This is clip 9.
When you're having these conversations with European allies who are very concerned about these sanctions, how do you justify that? And what are your plans?
120 days. Give me a break. Need time.
I guess there's nothing really more to add. Well, it's been more than 120 days. I suppose they'll be using that excuse or blaming Trump. That's always an easy one. Or blaming systemic racism. How do you explain this and this and this? 120 days. Listen to what he said about COVID-19. What clip is this? This is number 10.
COVID is, I know you all know, but a lot of people may not know what COVID is.
A lot of people may not know what COVID is. That's all we've been hearing about for the last 18 months. Everybody on Earth, plus their dogs, they know what COVID is. We all know. A lot of us now know about the fraud. How it started. The Wuhan lab. We know that the mortality rate was far, far lower than they were saying at the very beginning. We've heard about the bats. We've heard about the markets. We've heard about the face masks, the lockdowns. And there's the President of the United States explaining for those that don't know what COVID-19 is. It's Richard Palmer. He sent me a note this morning. Look at how quickly things can unravel. Even the ties between these three brother nations, Ephraim, Manasseh, Judah. over the weekend, Prime Minister Netanyahu, he's ousted from government, or at least he's not the prime minister anymore. He's vowing to come back. This is from the Times of Israel. Outgoing PM skips traditional photo of handover with successor, tells opposition bloc he'll topple the new government based on fraud, hate, and power seeking, or this new government is based on that. It says former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who the night before was ousted from power after 12 years in office by the incoming coalition, gave his replacement Prime Minister Naftali Bennett less than an hour, according to some reports, just half an hour, for their handover before publicly declaring that he would swiftly bring down the new government. It says the formal transfer of power ended without the traditional ceremony and public good wishes, without a handshake, and with no photo op, an indication of the animus Netanyahu harbors toward Bennett, his own one-time chief of staff. I mean, it's almost a replay of what's happened here in the United States. All of this nefarious activity going on behind the scenes to try to take out, in this case, a sitting prime minister. And again, when you go back further, as far as root causes go, there's a spirit. There's a spirit behind it all, and that spirit is to blot out. It wants to blot out even the name of Israel. That's 2 Kings 14, verses 26 and 27. And were it not for God's intervention, God just won't allow it to happen. He won't allow it to happen. And not completely, I mean, the name. It's going to be fulfilled according to his prophecies. And our nations are in decline. There's no getting around that. I mean, look at our leaders. They're trying to create a more gender-neutral, feminine grouping of nations. Do you ever hear look at America's enemies or Britain's enemies. Look at Putin. Look at President Xi. Why aren't those leaders getting up in front of the microphone and saying, you know what we need is more gender neutrality? We need a more feminine society. Our leaders, we need to be more feminine. That's not the way they talk. They really want to accentuate mighty men, strong male leadership. And that leadership, the strength of it, it's going to be coming against us soon. That's what your Bible prophesies. Your Bible says that our nations are going to be attacked from without. Right now, they're being attacked from within, clearly. But it's not going to lead to our destruction and captivity. Ultimately, that's because of the attack from without. But before that attack comes, well, Ezekiel 4 and Ezekiel 5 certainly do discuss the fact that we're going to be warring against ourselves. We're going to be on the road to destroying ourselves. That article in the latest Trumpet, the one with the double jab or jab or else, that's the headline. It goes through that article, what will happen after Trump regains power. He had a speech over the weekend at this Mike Lindell event. I forget if it was Michigan or Wisconsin. It was up north somewhere. But there were 18, 19,000 people that showed up for that. Of course, Mike Lindell says that it was a total fraud, that election from November 3rd, and people in the media, they paint him out to be some crazy crackpot. And yet he continues, just to come back to this G7 for a moment. I'll get to the election steal in just a bit. But listen to this from James Dellingpole at Breitbart. He says, the disgraceful COVID hypocrisy of the G7 elite. It says, at least one good thing has emerged from the G7 summit. Now we know that President Joe Biden, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, President Bieber of Canada, this is Breitbart, this is Dellingpole, he has some hard-hitting humor at times. It says, and the various other world leaders who've been sunning themselves in Cornwall are ocean-going, copper-bottomed hypocrites. One rule for us, the sheeple, And another rule for them. You'll notice, you saw it even in that footage, those G7 leaders sitting around the round table, they're all spaced out, a meter and a half, 2 meters. When they got together for the official photo, even though it was outside, they were all spread out, socially distanced, right? We've got to mask up. We've got to be socially distanced until they go to the evening parties, the parties after the official events. And then they're hugging, they're kissing, they're shaking hands. They've got their hands on each other's backs. It's no problem. It says here, now how their personal rules, note rather, how their personal rules on mask wearing, social distancing, quarantining, and so on, differ quite markedly from the ones they've been imposing on us ordinary folk these past 18 months. They're hypocrites. And this, of course, has been exposed for the past 18 months. These governors in the United States or what's happened in Australia or wherever getting caught. Look at Neil Ferguson. He in Britain, he's Britain's Tony Fauci. Scared the whole nation a little over a year ago. Said there were going to be 600,000-700,000, I think, to die from COVID in the UK. In the US, it was going to be millions. And then he's caught traveling across London to meet with his partner, the woman he was having an adulterous affair with. So everyone else used to, that was right at the peak of lockdown mania, by the way. And there have been other incidents like that over the past 18 months. Dellingpole says, sure, when they're posing for one of their staged photographs, they all pretend for propaganda purposes. Again, we talk a lot about the propaganda media. Here are the propaganda ministers, you could say. They all pretend for propaganda purposes that they are COVID regulation compliant. And then he says, look at the photos, look at the official events and so on. It says the photo of the president and first lady, the queen, President Bieber and Prince Charles, clearly in breach of the arbitrary 2 meter social distancing rule. It says, nor is any of them wearing masks, nor one can safely assume is any of them at risk of being put on an NHS track and trace watch list and forced to quarantine at home because they've been found to leave to have come into contact with someone who tested positive. You think the government authorities are going to lock them up for violating these rules? No, they are the government authorities. So they flout the rules. It says, oh, and a number of these people have permitted to travel from foreign countries on airplanes. So they're there too, talking about climate change and so on. They all fly in from around the world when a lot of people still, if you're an ordinary British citizen, you still can't fly to the United States. And then you're coming up to another speech tonight by Boris Johnson, the one that wants a more gender-neutral, feminine nation. And so he's going to go on the air again this evening and extend the lockdown. Got to be safe. After all, we're all like a bunch of frightened women, I guess. So we've got to huddle in the basement just with a few family members. Can't get together with anyone else. Well, unless the G7 leaders come into Cornwall and it's a beautiful, sunshiny weekend. Then we can have the cocktail parties. This is Dan Wooten writing for GB News. Lockdowns are a crude measure. Mark my words, in the years that come, we will discover they have caused far more deaths and devastation than the government has ever admitted. They should be wiped from the public health playbook forevermore. But tragically, the doomsday scientists and the public health officials have taken control. Well, we brought this out last week. We've pointed it out over 18 months with Fauci and others. Look at how much power they have. Here he is, the British Prime Minister, poised and ready to extend the lockdown. It'll only be a few more weeks. We've heard that before, have we not? 15 days to stop the spread. Just a few more weeks, that's all we're asking. We've got to be willing to make some sacrifices. Listen, by the way, listen, this is later on in my notes, fellas, but this is Joe Biden's COVID czar. I think it's clip 11. Listen to what he had to say on TV this morning.
But if we're honest, we also had two other types of mistakes that caused a lot of loss of life. One were just plainly political leadership mistakes. There was a lot. We denied the virus for too long out of the Trump White House. There was too much squashing of dissent and playing on divisions. But I'd also think we all need to look at one another and ask ourselves, what do we need to do better next time? And in many respects, being able to sacrifice a little bit for one another to get through this and to save more lives is going to be essential. And that's something that I think we could all have done a little bit better on.
So what have we learned these past 18 months? Well, we've learned that Donald Trump was a total failure. And we've also learned that we need to make more sacrifices as citizens of the United States or Great Britain. We need to sacrifice more. And the translation for that, of course, is to obey these arbitrary rules and standards that apply for one group or this group, but certainly not this group. Make more sacrifices? Well, that guy at GB News, he's spot on. We're going to find out. When this is all said and done, the devastation, the death even, and I'm not even getting into the vaccines yet. Probably won't have time, but the death, the devastation, the suffering, the addiction, all of this that skyrocketed largely because of the cure that's turned out to be far worse than the disease. Look at what it's done to our nations. Look at what it's done to the deficit, to the debt. And on the madness goes. And you've got top government officials. You heard from one of them. And you'll hear from Boris Johnson tonight. We've got to sacrifice more. Well, look, we're all for sacrifice. But what kind of sacrifice are we talking about? We're talking about shooting ourselves, basically. We're talking about committing national suicide instead of making sacrifices for God, for God's work, or to help build up the nation, to help strengthen the nation, to help our neighbors in the nation. How far gone are we? Well, watch. And like Jesus said, pray as well. Pray as well. Listen to Theresa May. She was the one that was in the office before Boris Johnson. And listen to her in the House of Commons. I think this is from Friday, clip 7.
We will not eradicate COVID-19 from the UK. There will not be a time when we can say that there will never be another case of COVID-19 in this country. Secondly, variants will keep on coming. There will be new variants every year. If the government's position is that we cannot open up travel until there are no new variants elsewhere in the world, then we will never be able to travel abroad ever again. And the third fact that the government needs to state much more clearly is that sadly people will die from COVID here in the UK in the future, as 10 to 20,000 people do every year from flu. It's incomprehensible, I think, that one of the most heavily vaccinated countries in the world is one that is most reluctant to give its citizens the freedoms those vaccinations should support.
It's a voice of sanity coming from the former prime minister, the one that many conservatives wanted out. Well, she's not conservative enough. And then Boris Johnson comes in, they're all rejoicing. This is great. It's coinciding, too, with Donald Trump and nationalism and America first, Britain first, and stronger ties between the United States and Britain. What happened? What happened? What has happened to Boris Johnson? What has happened to Great Britain? There's the former prime minister saying that the flu is never going to go away, ever. Completely, okay? If we're waiting for COVID-19 to be completely removed, the UK has had 60 million people vaccinated. They're leading the way for vaccinating little children. I mentioned to you last week about Israel. They're leading the way. And then there's the push in the United States. Not as many people, percentage-wise, getting vaccinated. But then Joe Biden sending those vaccines all over the world. If Britain has had, what is it, 70, 80% of its population vaccinated? What is it worried about? Why would it extend the lockdown if the vaccine is perfect? You see a little bit about the way those world leaders think when they step away from the cameras and they go to the cocktail party. They're not worried or afraid of COVID or the flu or anything like that. And then they get back in front of the camera and they say, if it saves one life, look, we've got to be able to do this for a few more weeks. We've got to make even more sacrifices to completely stamp this out. When we come back, we're going to focus on those comments made by the fake Attorney General, Merrick Garland, on Friday, where he basically came out and threatened those that would dare audit an election for state officials to examine ballots. Boy, he came out with a pretty serious and dire threat. We'll come to that right after we get back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to call our operators if you want to subscribe to The Trumpet or order The United States and Britain in Prophecy. That's 1-866-930-3024. And you can also email the program if you like. We love hearing feedback from our listeners, whether you're a regular listener or a new one that's just joined us. You can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Do you know me? Do you love me? Do you know I exist? Do you exist? You know what it feels like to not be heard. You know what it feels like to not be answered. Is this how you feel toward God? You don't have to feel alone. You don't have to be distant from God. You don't have to wonder if He will ever answer. You just have to learn how to pray. There is a God, and there are many wrong ways to communicate with Him, but there is a right way. Once you learn how to pray, you will break through and converse with your very Creator. You will experience the most fulfilling, meaningful, thrilling relationship you can imagine. God will hear you. God will love you. God will answer you. If you learn how to pray. Go to thetrumpet.com and search how to pray.
The Trumpet Daily.
So far this year, at least 14 states have passed new laws that make it harder to vote. And some jurisdictions, based on disinformation, have utilized abnormal post-election audit methodologies that may put the integrity of the voting process at risk and undermine public confidence in our democracy. The Civil Rights Division has already sent a letter expressing its concern that one of those audits may violate provisions of the Civil Rights Act. The division also expressed concern that the audit may violate a provision of the Voting Rights Act that bars intimidation of voters.
So these election audits, they're actually intimidating voters. The voters voted on November 3rd, for one. They voted 6 months ago. I told you last week about the new Black Panther Party. They were intimidating voters on the day of election, threatening voters on the day of the election in 2008. And Barack Obama's Attorney General, Eric Holder, he did nothing. He protected the new Black Panther Party from actual voter intimidation. And here's Merrick Garland saying for officials in a state like Arizona to actually examine ballot. That's intimidating for people, I guess. Aren't you intimidated? It's like those that fear the flag. They're hiding out in the bunker because it's very disturbing and dangerous to fly the national flag on Flag Day. Or I guess Sonny Hostin said, except on July 4th and maybe if you're a military family. Outside of that, I mean, it scares me. Here's Merrick Garland saying, voters, you're being intimidated because you actually have election officials coming in and examining if there was fraud on November 3rd. Notice he said there that 14 states have passed new laws that make it harder to vote. So for a state, in a state legislature, these are people elected by you, the ordinary citizens. This is who they're going after. And Donald Trump said it over and again. The way you see them treating me, the way you see them coming after me, they're doing this because they really are going after you, the ordinary American. It's an attack. It's an attack from within. It's an attack from the Communist Party. 14 states, says Merrick Garland. Nobody voted him into office. He's saying those 14 states are making it harder to vote. Well, doesn't the state legislature have something to say about that? And then the people that voted them in, those state senators, those state congressmen, men and women? Evidently not. Evidently not. They've passed new laws that make it harder to vote. He said, and some jurisdictions, based on disinformation, have utilized abnormal post-election audit methodologies. They've got these audits in place because of disinformation. So we have got to really attack and go after the disinformation. And what did we learn last year about so-called disinformation? It needed to be blotted out. It needed to be censored. Conservative Treehouse, by the way, they had this piece in the Washington Post, or rather they referred to it. It was from the Washington Post last May. And Conservative Treehouse just drew attention to it again the other day. Let me just read a little bit to you from it. It says, a new Democratic-aligned political action committee advised by retired Army General Stanley McChrystal, it says, is planning to deploy technology originally developed to counter Islamic State propaganda in service of a domestic political goal to combat online efforts to promote President Trump's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. So this was last May of 2020. Here's this new Democrat Action Committee coming together basically to use the same tactics and technology that they went or used to battle Islamic propaganda, or propaganda coming from what was it they said here the Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State. So they see Donald Trump and what he was saying last year about coming out of lockdown sooner rather than later, about hydroxychloroquine or whatever it was. They had to do what? They had to battle that disinformation. And basically what Conservative Treehouse is saying is that if you see, this is like their playbook. This is, in some ways, it's saying the silent part out loud. They said it back in May. That, look, we've got to go after disinformation. And then when you think about what happened later on in the year, Facebook, Twitter, and all those people just blotting out Donald Trump. They just blotted him out. It was part of this campaign. It says here, the group, this is in the Washington Post last May. It says the group, Defeat Disinfo. Disinformation, by the way, is a communist term. This originated back during the Soviet era. So here comes Merrick Garland. There's a lot of disinformation. I mean, a good Soviet general would be proud. Yeah, we've got to stamp it out. I saw a tweet from someone just the other day saying that, you know, you've got the Putin and Biden meeting coming up this week. Someone saying, well, they actually have a fair bit in common. Both of them won in the dark of night, and they got an overwhelming majority of the popular vote. Communists would be proud. I mean, we've got to fight and stamp out disinformation. In this case, it's anything that, Trump would say about COVID-19, like the fact that it originated in the Wuhan lab. Yeah, that had to be blotted out. And it was blotted out by this group. Defeat Disinfo will use artificial intelligence and a network analysis to map discussion of the president's claims on social media. It will seek to intervene by identifying the most popular counter-narratives and boosting them through a network of more than 3.4 million influencers across the country, in some cases paying users with large followings to take sides against the president, said the Washington Post. Yeah, that's right. We'll pay you off even. Just to get a prominent voice, a prominent official out there to take a position against Donald Trump. So Merrick Garland on Friday, he says these audits are going forward because of disinformation. So what do we need to do? Well, I'm sure it's very similar to what Defeat Disinfo did last year with respect to COVID and Donald Trump. Disinformation? What kind of disinformation would bring about a recount, an audit of ballots, an examination of ballots? Well, that would be the fact that the election was stolen. That's disinformation. So here's the DOJ, and if you've watched this program, you know there have been calls for this. Rachel Maddow has led the charge. We've got to stop this. So the DOJ sends that letter a few weeks ago, and now it comes out much more strongly and says, hey, we're going to look into this. We're going to scrutinize the scrutinizers. We're going to scrutinize the ones that are scrutinizing the ballots. You notice in his statement Friday, Merrick Garland, he didn't say anything about, you know, and if it comes out that there was fraud, we're the DOJ. You can be sure that there's going to be some penalties. If anyone did anything that isn't according to state laws, if they cheated, if they stuffed the ballot box, they're going to be going to prison. He didn't say anything like that. He said he's going to scrutinize the scrutinizers. He's going to scrutinize the audit process. And all those 14 states, they're making it harder to vote. Never mind that their leaders were voted in. Never mind that they passed it the way state law and the way that the federal law says that they should. This article in Red State, fascinating piece, just comparing a proper, thorough examination or post-election audit with an audit put out or carried out by the IRS. Now, if you know anything about an IRS audit, those can be very thorough. An IRS agent can show up at your house and demand that we go through some papers to make sure you didn't cheat, because they need to look at the evidence, don't they? I mean, when the tables turn, it's stunning, really, isn't it? 6 months we've heard, there's no evidence, there's no evidence, there's no evidence. And then finally you get, and it's not even really a total and complete and thorough examination, but it's certainly much more thorough than the ones going on back in November and December. Finally you get an examination of the evidence, and then here comes the head of the DOJ saying, you know what, we're coming after you. We are coming after you for even looking into this. If only the IRS would do that for someone that ripped them off. I'm not saying that they should. But what about the standard here? And why, as I've said so many times, why? Why are they crying foul if there's nothing but perfection to examine? Why? Why? When they could go through and examine it with all these other Republicans and take another victory lap because of it, you think that they'd be quite happy to do it. Obviously, obviously, they're trying to shut it down because they know what it will expose. They know it. Merrick Garland knows it. That's why he made the statement that he did on Friday. this article talking about a full forensic audit and just how rare they are. This is from Red State last week. It says, it is astonishing that the FFA, that's full forensic audit, has never been performed in any state, county, or precinct. But even more surprising is that the vaunted Arizona audit and others proposed and or in process in other states are audits of a lesser variety. It's not, technically speaking, it's not a full forensic audit. And this article goes on, it cites some physicist, his name is John Draws, and it says, Draws does anyway, that when you're conducting a full forensic audit, you're basically trying to establish three things. Number one, did only legally eligible citizens vote and just once? Were they legally eligible? And did they vote just one time? Okay, that's number one. Number two, did the voting machines accurately report all ballots received without any changes? Did the machines work? Were the machines that counted the ballots, were they accurate? And then number three, did third parties illegally change or delete any legitimate ballots or add ballots? Now, how could anyone not want that in a free society? Just to make sure there's no fraud or corruption. There's a lot of fraud or corruption when it comes to cheating on taxes. That's why the IRS is there. That's why the IRS, they're quite happy to sift through documents, papers, to pin you down, to call you up, to reject your return or the documents that you've filed. On this, though, what does the radical left, what are the communists saying over and over again? It was perfect. It's a big lie. It's disinformation to even suggest there was any kind of foul play. And to look into it, to examine the ballots in itself is dangerous. It's dangerous to democracy. Red State says, from the above information, the following startling conclusions was made. None of these questions are answered by a standard election recount, canvassing, or certification. It says those three questions can only be answered by a full forensic audit of the voter machine, and the ballot process. And yet, in election FFA, an election FFA has never been conducted at any level in the U.S. If it's never been conducted, really, not this way anyway, then you can be sure there is fraud all over the place. If it's gone, and there have been instances, and historians have written about it, what happened in 1960, for example. 1960. And look at human nature, and look at how much worse it is today. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Pretty amazing. Nowhere in America, this article says, has there ever been really an official election audit. There was a story at Just the News. Just today I saw it. Approximately 385 of 1,565 transfer forms for absentee ballots were missing. This is in Georgia. There's an election official coming forward now saying, yeah, we don't have chain of custody on quite a few of these ballots. In other words, we don't know where they came from. In other words, the ballot box was stuffed, and there's no idea where these ballots came from. It says a Fulton County, Georgia election official has acknowledged that chain of custody documents for absentee ballots deposited into drop boxes for the 2020 election are missing or misplaced. What happened to them? Don't know. Can't examine it. Disinformation. Shut it down. That's in Georgia. Where's Governor Kemp? Where's Secretary Raffensperger? What about Gabe Sterling? What about Jeff Duncan? Are they concerned? Does this worry them? That maybe all that they said in November and December is just perfect. It's perfect. It's so perfect. It's perfect. Chain of custody. They just went missing. Here's Merrick Garland again from Friday, clip two.
We are scrutinizing new laws that seek to curb voter access, and where we see violations, we will not hesitate to act.
So who is intimidating whom here? Who is threatening whom? this, well, let me play clip three before I get to the Air Force pilot. Here's clip three.
We are also scrutinizing current laws and practices in order to determine whether they discriminate against black voters and other voters of color.
And then clip four, listen to this.
We will apply the same scrutiny to post-election audits to ensure they abide by federal statutory requirements to protect election records and avoid the intimidation of voters.
All right, so it's racism and then the big lie, or one of them, that the election was stolen. That's disinformation. So, hey, we've got to go after these states passing these racist laws, and then we've got to stop these audits. We've got to stop these audits, and they're searching. Believe me, they're sifting through the books even as we speak, looking for the rules, any rules that have been broken. And Arizona state legislatures, as well they should, are saying you don't have anything to do with our state laws with respect to the election. This Air Force jet pilot, her name is Wendy Rogers. She's now a state senator there in Arizona. She tweeted out over the weekend, "You will not." She's tweeting this to Merrick Garland, the head of the DOJ. She says, "You will not touch Arizona ballots or machines unless you want to spend time in an Arizona prison." I mean, good for her. There's precious few. There's only a precious few who are not intimidated by these threats. The fake Biden administration weaponizing all of these agencies. I mean, you, like I say, you try to evade taxes and the IRS, they're going to come knocking on your door looking for documents to examine. But you get away with the election steal of the century, the steal of American history. And the ones who stole it, naturally, they're going to want to cover it up. So they're very nervous. They're scared even by what's happening in Arizona, because they know there's only so much that they can do. The DOJ can't just go in. Well, I mean, theoretically, I guess it could try in some form or fashion. Clearly from his statements on Friday, he's indicating what they're trying to do. They're just probably looking for some kind of legal way that they can maneuver their way through and shut it down. And you've got state legislators saying, no, you're not. And everyone that's visited it, 14 states now, have visited the operation, and just about every one of them that I know of has come out and said it's remarkable what they're doing and how thorough and how professional and how secure it all is. And now they want to go away and do it in their state to examine, to make sure there's no fraud on a mass scale. And so the fake Biden administration, it's scrambling. Merrick Garland's DOJ, scrambling. How can we stop this? How can we shut it down? How can we bring an end to this? Listen to one last clip from Friday, clip five.
Today I am announcing that within the next 30 days, we will double the division's enforcement staff for protecting the right to vote. We will use all existing provisions of the Voting Rights Act, the National Voter Registration Act, the Help America Vote Act, and the Uniform and Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act to ensure that we protect every qualified American seeking to participate in our democracy.
Wow, he's doubling his staff so that they can go after any of these states that would dare audit or examine ballots 6-7 months after the fact. It's war, isn't it? 2 Kings 14. A war to recover what has been stolen. You can look at that prophecy and much more in the latest issue of The Trumpet magazine. Make sure you subscribe today, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email the program, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.